This is Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI. Stanley Cup Finals Edition.
For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and the NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like it is sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show.
A bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports.
What are you guys doing?
Putting on the foil.
Yeah, you want some?
No. And WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman.
Be a great one. None of that stinking
rush beer. Lace them up for some Bees Talk right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hour two of the Skate, and we bring a special guest on right now. ESPN's Greg Wyshynski joins us to talk Bruins and Blues. He's only had 11 days to write about it, as the rest of the country has. Hello, Greg. How are you this morning?
Doing well. I'm in some kind of an Australian-themed coffee shop here in Boston, having gotten in on the red eye.
All right.
So I'm good and punchy right now. Oh, it's good.
Beautiful. Storyline you're tired of, storyline you like about this series?
I think I'm already tired of the David Backus storyline,
yeah.
But I know we're only tip of the iceberg there. It is kind of fun that like he's got so many close friends on the Blues still, but I feel like that one's going to be overplayed. But I don't think we've even gotten close yet to peak Tuukka versus Binnington. Which I think is just a real fun goalie matchup. I mean, Tuukka's numbers are obviously, you know, eclipse Bennington's in the postseason, but having watched Jordan a bit, he does the things that you need to get out of your goalie to win in the playoffs. And whether it's, you know, shutting down teams after a loss or, you know, coming up big in the third period, where I think the Blues are the most efficient defensive team in the third in the playoffs, that's a real fun goalie matchup in this series.
Greg, do you think that the Blues have an advantage anywhere over the Bruins in the series?
Let's see. Propagation of 1980s disco hits, I think, is one advantage. I thought that they might have an advantage at the forward position if you had asked me about a week and a half ago. But I think the Bruins bottom six has really come into form in these playoffs in a way that I didn't expect, and maybe not even in a way that they were in the first round against Toronto, where I thought Toronto had the advantage of forward. That's probably the place that's as close to a push as you can find in the series. I think the Bruins have the advantage in goal and on D, but the Blues forward group is interesting. Their bottom six, their fourth line with Oscar Sundquist, is arguably their best line in the series against the Sharks. And then in the previous series against Dallas, their line with Pat Maroon, Tyler Bozak, and Robert Thomas, their young rookie, was probably their best line. So they've gotten some really good play out of their bottom six. But I think it's probably a little bit more even than the Blues having an advantage there.
We've had several Marchand moments throughout the postseason so far, Greg. You ranked all of Brad Marchand's, well, not all of them, but his top 25 heel moments in a recent post at ESPN. And a couple of from this playoffs are here, with the Kyle Bukauskas interview and trolling Justin Williams there in the last series. Do you expect more of that from Marchand here in the finals? What kind of Brad Marchand do you expect here?
First off, it was fun to do that story because we actually ran it last year as a top 20. And then in the last year, he's added five to the list. So, I mean, we were able to make it a top 25. Who's to say what it'll be next year? But there's two ways to look at it. First off is that there's always the potential that he's going to, you know, do something nefarious to try to get under the skin of a St. Louis Blues player. But the other way to look at it is that every time he's done something nefarious in these playoffs, it's not even resulted in a penalty, let alone a suspension or anything like that. So I imagine he's going to push the envelope. I think it's the way he plays. I think there are definitely some guys in the Blues that you might be able to get under their skin if you play them the right way. But as far as any supplemental discipline or anything like that, I think it's yet to happen. So I don't expect it to happen in the final.
Do you sense any interest from this series across the country, or are people bored by it? We're trying to think of a better cup final, and Pete's assertion is that the West was just down this year anyway, and nothing would have been much better. This is probably as good as you could have gotten. What do you think of Bruins Blues overall?
Oh, I think Sharks Bruins would have moved the needle more. I mean, not only for the Thornton thing, but just because the Sharks are a more divisive team. You have fan bases that really hate the Sharks, and you also have fan bases that really want them to kind of have their Capitals moment and break through, which is weird because the Blues, I wrote about this last week, the Blues are kind of like the NHL's wallpaper, right? Like they're always there, but never commented on. Mm-hmm. You know, they have this incredible cup drought. They haven't made the finals since 1970, but there isn't this sort of groundswell of, oh, will they get their cup that you'd get if, you know, the Flyers or the Leafs or any of the other teams that have a long cup drought got into the finals. So, is there interest? I think there definitely is, because this playoff has been so bizarre. Even with there being more glamour franchises in the draft lottery than there have been in the playoffs, the numbers have been pretty good. The interest has been pretty good. So I imagine that it'll carry over to the cup final.
And a big part of it, right, Greg, was the offseason that Armstrong had to assemble this group. For a while, it looked terrible, but now they've taken off. Last summer, did you think the O'Reilly trade or the signings of Bozak and Perron were good decisions or bad decisions?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I thought they were great. I wrote a story last summer called Why Doug Armstrong Won the Summer, and I looked like a complete idiot until around January. So I'm happy they turned things around. But, no, I thought they made four additions last summer. One of them was a disaster. Chad Johnson, coming on as the backup goalie did not work at all. But the O'Reilly trade was great, and it looks like they might win that in a big way. Bringing back David Perron for like the 100th time was great. He's been solid for them. And then the Pat Maroon acquisition, where, you know, he decided to take less money to go back to St. Louis and be with you closer to his son, worked out pretty well. And obviously he made an impact in the playoffs. So the additions they made were huge, but obviously the thing that shifted the paradigm for them was finally having someone usurp the civ-like Jake Allen in goal, and having Binnington just be unflappable. He wasn't only fantastic in the regular season. He gave them a backbone that they didn't have previously.
Yeah, you mentioned the roster makeup and Binnington. So how much credit are you giving Craig Berube for the turnaround? Because we've discussed it on the show, and I'm not totally sold on you know him being a great coach claiming that he's a great coach at this point in time. How much credit are you giving to him for the turnaround in the second half?
I give him a bunch of credit, and not because he's a great coach. I think he's the right coach for this team. I think what he did was simplify things. He got them to play really well in the forecheck, which is sort of the lifeblood for everything they do. He also got them to be more responsible defensively because Allen, you know, even though I think he's not a good goalie, was also being left out to dry on a lot of odd man rushes the other way. But I think there's a common thread in these playoffs between guys like Berube and guys like Rod Brind'Amour, who are just guys. Like, they're just able to kind of communicate better with the players. There's no mind games. There's no, you know, Mike Babcock super genius stuff going on. They're just ex-jocks who, you know, work out with the guys and know how to talk to them like men. And for whatever reason, are able to unlock performances in these players that other guys aren't able to. So he's definitely had an impact on that team for sure.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, our guest. All right, Greg, we need your prediction and your Conn Smythe prediction, too. How are you sensing the series going?
I'm taking Blues in six.
Whoa.
I know. I'm surprised that there's such a huge disparity in, like, the Vegas odds and stuff. I think this is a really closer series than people give it credit for. And one of the reasons why is because they're so good on the road. You know, they obviously don't have home ice in the series. They've won two of their three series without home ice. Their numbers on the road are incredible. Binnington's numbers on the road are incredible. So I give them a real shot at winning this. I think if they do win it, they'll probably be on home ice. And, you know, Conn Smythe is always a dicey thing. I mean, Jaden Schwartz, I think right now probably is their leading candidate because of how many goals he scored. But I think at the end of the day, if they win the series and, my brothers and sisters in the Professional Hockey Writers Association will probably have to give it to the rookie goalie that leads his team to the Stanley Cup.
So that's kind of what you see, St. Louis shutting down Boston's top guns.
Shutting down, it's kind of, I don't think it's about shutting them down. I think it's finding that extra goal against Tuukka that maybe other teams couldn't. I think the way the Blues play offensively is a little bit more scoring from the dirty areas, grinding around the net kind of stuff than maybe some of these other teams that we've seen the Bruins play. So I think it's less about what they do defensively than it is about if they can generate a little bit more offense against Rask than other teams have been able to.
Hey, Greg, thanks for spending a couple minutes. Welcome to Boston. Enjoy the week. We will talk soon, I hope.
I don't know. I answered that prediction.
I know. Yeah, you're out.
A bridge or something.
Yeah, you're out. The reality is you're out. I'll see you, man.
Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Matt Kalman very alive during that interview. You got something against Wyshynski or what? You're just sitting back and observing? Didn't want to take part?
All right.
Jeez, all right. Wow.
Rested my voice.
Holy cow. You should have brought these to the table complaints beforehand. Pete's a good friend.
I didn't have any complaints. I'm just saying I didn't have anything to ask him.
Oh, okay.
He's from New Jersey.
You can ask Fred New Hampshire some questions when we bring Fred on. That'll be coming
up
in a second. But before we get to Fred, though, Fred's got the obviously the quintessential prediction. We got one from our guy from WEI, Scott McLaughlin, who's been on fire in this. I want to give Pete credit first, because before Blues, Sharks, either before they started or San Jose was up 1-0, and you said you like St. Louis still to win the series. So I give Pete credit for that. I don't know if you were on St. Louis at all.
I played the series odds. I thought that St. Louis was going to win the series. I thought they were going to lose the first game. After game one, I played with series odds for St. Louis.
Well, you remember that first game, Timo Meier had that unbelievable goal. He stole the puck from Parayko, came in and did the old breakaway reach
Forsberg.
Back. Yeah, the Forsberg move. Unbelievable. And then they lost the hand pass game, and I'm thinking that's it. This is going to be the postseason theme of officials screwing somebody. But they came back to win it.
Yeah,
but here they are.
It might have still probably gone the Sharks' way if they didn't lose three of their best players.
But Scotty McLaughlin, who writes with you at EEI.com, said, sweep, Bruins in four. He's having a tough time even convincing himself for a fifth game. So now we have Wyshynski, who says Blues in six, and he's given a reason of just, he thinks eventually Binnington's going to be the Conn Smythe winner. If, I guess it is Schwartz, Binnington, and if the Bruins would win, it's going to be Rask or Marchand, right?
Right.
And Marchand's going to be a tough sell for a lot of writers who just don't like him, as highlighted by that. I mean, could Bergeron even get back into the equation?
No, I mean, I think that if the Bruins win the series, Tuukka's going to have to play well. And if he plays well, he's so far ahead of anybody else at this point that it's pretty much his to win.
Tarasenko, I guess, could have a huge round, and maybe Ryan O'Reilly, too, if he shuts down Bergeron in that line and has a terrific edge.
They're not usually that subtle. Any of those things happen, they're just going to give it to the goalie.
Yeah, and Schwartz, by the way, has had four goals in each round of the postseason so far. He's got two hat tricks, so he's been very consistent. So it's possible if he has, Jaden Schwartz could be the playoff MVP.
But it doesn't always go to the guy like that. I mean, Kuznetsov probably should have deserved it last year, I thought, and Ovechkin got it.
They gave it to Ovechkin.
Yeah, so.
And Crosby the 2 years before that.
Right, well, they always give it to Crosby. They also want to give him the Selke. They want to give Crosby the Hart, the Selke. How many? Just because he hasn't won them, the writers just need to complete its collection.
I think that Crosby should have been up for the Selke nomination this year. Played really, really well defensively.
Did Tim Thomas, it was not even a doubt, right, back in 2011?
I wasn't anywhere near that decision-making process.
No. The guy at the snack bar was?
I have no idea.
Uh-huh. Shut out again. All right, now before we get to Fred's picks, we want Dale Arnold's keys to this Stanley Cup. These three keys he threw out are unbelievable. He put these out early. Was this Friday or Thursday's show, John?
I believe it would have been yesterday's show.
Okay,
I think this is why.
Friday's. Yeah,
I think this is why that show usually leaves the keys to Keith. Right? They usually leave it to him.
I haven't heard these.
One time they let
yet.
Dale do it, and this is what happens.
Here are Dale's three keys to the Cup. Here we go. Key number one:
passion. The passion of the Boston sports fan, particularly the Bruins fan. No disrespect meant to the nice folks in St. Louis.
Yes.
But they are literally the nice folks of St. Louis.
Well, they really are.
Oh, my God. I have never seen...
Okay, so key number one is Boston passion.
I have never
over
seen
St. Louis
a championship in any sport at any level handed out to the one that had the most passionate fans.
Oh, my God.
And I hope this doesn't trickle down to youth sports. I don't want to see, kids, parents on my kids' hockey team going nuts, painting their faces and yelling at the other team because the team that's going to win is the one with the more passionate fans.
All right, not the best key. I'll grant you that.
And never mind the fact that
I was building up to it.
I would almost grant you that the St. Louis fan is more passionate because they, especially with the Blues, they've had more heartbreak over the years, yet they've stuck with it.
Key number two from Dale Arnold.
The Boston trifecta, which could have been the Boston suite.
It should have been.
I think it's a real deal for these players. The possibility of doing something that hasn't been done since 1935, I think it was, which is three championships in the same city in basically the same, calendar season. Here you've got the Red Sox, Patriots, and then theoretically followed by the Bruins.
See, City of Champions motivation. Key
Doesn't
number
make
two.
Any sense. Of course.
Keith's keys.
Yeah, bring back Keith's keys, exactly.
So Boston sports passion and the drive that the players are feeling that they have to complete the trifecta.
They would like to do it because they want to win a championship, so it has nothing to do with that.
I mean, maybe there's some motivation seeing the success across the way or whatever.
Yeah, Brady and Belichick could be banner captains. I tweeted this out earlier.
Game one goes to overtime, and they're going to say, we got to do this one for Gronk.
Gronk was a Banner captain.
I mean,
this year.
The hell does that even mean?
Edelman
doesn't make any sense.
It was a Banner captain.
This is supposed to be your weekday hockey expert.
I'm sure they're not in the locker room being like, "We can't blow the trifecta, guys. Come on."
No, okay, but the first
there's no doubt that if Thursday night wasn't a sign, then these keys are a sign that the Cowman and Blackburn show is taking over middays pretty soon.
Number one key is going to be on fire. I can just predict it. Dale's number one key to the Stanley Cup.
Bruce Cassidy has said that the St. Louis Blues are basically the Bruins' twin. Pete DeBoer, the coach of the San Jose Sharks, says these are the two heaviest teams in the National Hockey League in the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins come into this final with 19 different goal scorers in the playoffs this year. The Blues have 18 different goal scorers this year. If I think there's a coaching advantage for the Bruins, and that comes later in the list,
yeah.
I think the fact that, in effect, Bruce Cassidy is preparing to play himself gives them an advantage.
It's a mirror match. First
well,
of
there
all,
you go.
If there was ever a verbal version of the Spider-Man gif, there it was right there. Second of all, I'm glad that Dale at least got
deep
that
thinking.
Out.
Deep thinking, by Dale.
I'm glad Dale didn't.
So Cassidy misspeak knows the team he's coaching so well because they're his team, basically.
Bruce Cassidy playing with himself.
Oh, God. Are we allowed to play songs like that from that guy? Oh, my God.
Although, like those keys.
Oh, no.
Passion, trifecta.
I mean... I sort of get where he's coming from.
Wouldn't it also be an advantage for Berube if he's coaching against himself?
I mean, and second of all,
we've already gone through all the different ways that they're different. The size, this differential, the speed differential, the different line matchups. We've already gone through these, and then you're going to say they're the same?
This is like, there are similarities.
You wrote a book with Dale. You
this
know
is
how
like Sesame Street 101. Things
there are
that
similarities.
Are different. Of
I think
course,
there are similarities.
There are similarities, but it's not coaching against yourself.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you should have played Billy Idol Dancing with Myself instead of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, which should be banned from these airwaves. Never banned is Fred New Hampshire. Top those three keys to the Cup Finals, Freddie.
Ken, Pete, Matt, morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
Hey, the Boston Globe turned into the hockey news today. It's great. I love it. Hey,
you buy a newspaper? Why? They get news. You get newspapers still? Wow.
We get newspapers in New Hampshire. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I can't find my way around a computer. why, when I have 10 days off on a vacation, it feels like 10 hours, and these past 9 days have felt like 6 months.
Yeah.
Man, I'm jonesing for it. Predictions, okay?
Good.
Series winner. You know what I'm going to say? Montreal. No, I mean. The Bruins, but not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough series. The St. Louis team is very good, very good. And they hit like no team that we've played in this Stanley Cup. So, Conn Smythe, Tuukka.
Tuukka.
But when he gets it, he'll have to call over Halak, and they both hold the trophy.
Ooh, I like that. I like they that. A tandem hoist of the Calder.
And
Conn Smythe.
Marcus and Charlie are going to have a big say in the outcome. And you guys are going to have to make a trip to St. Stephen's, New Brunswick, to say you're sorry, okay?
Sorry? For predicting Toronto, as those guys did after Game 6, right, Fred?
What's that?
No, I mean sorry for you to picking on Marcus Johansson from the minute he got here.
Oh, sorry to Marcus. Yes.
Well, yeah, Marcus Johansson got in a car accident when he first got here.
Basically.
I mean, who has a bruised lung?
Well, I worry about that, really? Freddie. They're going to attack him. They're going to attack Krug. They're going to attack Grizzlick. And they're going to come after Jojo, whatever he's called.
They will. That's why I say it's going to be a long series. I hope it doesn't go 7 because I can't take it. But the last thing, the World Championships hockey that's on now, are the refs uniforms designed by Dr. Seuss? I mean, have you seen them?
Man, you're desperate for hockey, Freddie. You're watching the World Championships. Although Stone's on fire.
Should have watched the Memorial Cup. That was exciting hockey. It was good.
That was?
Yeah. Jacob Lauko, the future of the Bruins power forward, man. He's got a nose for the net.
Where's Stanika?
Stanika's a black ace.
Oh.
With the Bruins.
He's still around. How many black aces are still around? By the way, Krejci not practicing yesterday. Was not in the scrimmage.
He hates the practice.
Is that what it is? They're calling it a flu or a David Price illness of some kind?
He's got a fever, so we'll see.
Not worried? They said if he doesn't show today.
I think he has a fever for more cowbell.
So there's nothing to worry about there. Nothing to see.
Oh, there is definitely a reason to worry. I mean, if he's really fat, you know, if it's really a bad flu, you could be out of, you know, not have full energy and not be ready to go full strength on Monday. You never know.
All right, Sunday skate. We go until 10 a.m. this morning. Be a part of it. 617-779-7937. Get your final thoughts in on Bruins, Blues. Want your predictions, your Conn Smythe thoughts. What do you think about Dale's three keys? What do you think about Wyshynski's Blues in six prediction? Still trying to unwrap that Dale Cassidy coaching against himself key, but he's on another
Boston
level.
Sports
That's
fan.
Why he's on another level than you are, Kalman. And you're never going to be the hockey writer that... hockey man that Dale is. So just come to grips with it, all right? This is Sports Radio WEI.
Now back to a Stanley Cup Finals edition of Sunday Skate with Ken Laird, Pete Blackburn, and Matt Kalman on Sports Radio WEI.
You are the epitome of a one-trick pony.
That's it.
How about if you go to line two on that notebook of yours?
I do. I have
We know what
two.
Line one is.
The thing is, game three looked really good.
He looked good in game three, so what happened in game four?
Traffic cone.
Yeah, he's a road cone.
No, I know.
That looks good.
Butchergrass is definitely on your side. I will give you that.
Why did you say nothing to Butchergrass about that when he said that he looks like a road cone? Because I've been saying he looked like a road cone.
What did he say?
He said he looked like a road cone.
Is he? Is that what he said?
Is that what
I mean, I heard the cut this morning. That's evidently what Ken Laird wants you to believe.
I think they're accusing me of manufacturing the audio. That was the audio. I happened to end it at a select time. I'll agree with that.
I think we have a text from Dale. It says, are you guys idiots? Dale gave 10 reasons why they would
I only heard three.
I only heard
John
three
Anderson,
also,
the producer, so said he had three keys to the Cup Finals.
They were saved in the Dale and Keith folder. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe this
three are enough for me to disregard the next seven if there is 10.
Well, they don't exist, so there's nothing to disregard.
Hey, exactly. Pete also wrote about Jim and Pam this week in the office matchup, so it's all even. It's all even between Pete and Dale. He also wrote about David Bakhtiari chugging a beer, too. So you're like diverse on there, man. You go all over the place. Six storylines to know heading into the Bruins-Blues series is another Pete Blackburn staple. These were ones you came up with. David Backus, of course, we've talked about today. The Selke finalists going head-to-head. I think this is the key to the series. This is a great story. Ryan O'Reilly against Patrice Bergeron. O'Reilly now, who was traded in the offseason, and the Sabres fans must be thinking, what did we do?
First of all, the Sabres fans know exactly what they do. It's called the Sabres, but go ahead.
After last season, there was a little bit of squawking because O'Reilly ripped the team.
Yeah.
But he kind of ripped himself in the whole scheme of it. I mean, the Sabres, he was there for 3 years. They had a big trade to get him in from Colorado, and they signed him to a pretty big money deal. But Buffalo missed the playoffs for the sixth straight year. Now this is the seventh this season. But he said, we're not a very good hockey team. We let a lot of things go we normally shouldn't. He called them missing the playoffs pathetic. It's frustrating coming to the rink right now. There's no purpose to it. I'm sick of losing. It gets exhausting, and it's not fun. So they then traded Ryan O'Reilly to St. Louis this past offseason for a couple of players that have really been nobodies, two picks, and they got out from under his contract. They kind of just rebooted.
Yeah, I mean, Tage Thompson they think is going to be a future power forward, you know.
Okay.
But other than that, they overreacted.
It's a bad, the Buffalo Sabres
overreacted to something and, you know, screwed it up. And next thing you know, they're changing coaches for the fifth time in 6 years and whatever, and they're going nowhere, and they're building a team around a guy who, again, going back to Toronto, now we're talking about Buffalo, you know, Jack Eichel doesn't have much gumption.
Well, yeah, I mean, they also made that trade assuming that Casey Mittelstadt would be better than he's been. And they expected him to be the number two center on that team, and not so much.
Because they had Eichel, O'Reilly, Evander Kane. I mean, they had gotten star power.
No matter
in there
what
for
you
a
do, if you're a franchise and you're building and thinking Eichel and Mittelstadt are going to carry your middle, you still need that veteran core. Every one of these teams that injects the young players like that and expects them to be leaders gets screwed. You need to have the veteran core to handle much of the leadership of the team, and then you lean on these younger guys for the skill and for what they produce. But, you know, again, they misjudge. They don't have anything close to a veteran core that can turn that team around at this point, and I guess that's their job to do it. But O'Reilly's the type of player you build a team around, regardless of his production. I mean, did he have a great regular season? No, but we know
he actually
all
had
the
his
things
best,
he does.
He had his best regular season ever, 77 points.
Well, there you go. I mean, he
should mention that he hasn't been nearly as good as he was during the regular season during this playoffs. He's had a pretty down playoffs in terms of what we've seen from O'Reilly.
Well, point wise or just production in terms, because I'm assuming he's playing against the other team's top lines, because that's, you know, what Bergeron does right here. Has that been the case? And he's got 14 points, 11 assists, 3 goals.
Right. I mean, his goal share is only 53%. He's been on the ice for 10, 4, and 9 against at 5-on-5, which is not great for a guy who is as defensively sound as Ryan O'Reilly usually is. And he's also only winning 48% of his faceoffs, which is significantly down from what we've seen in the regular season. He's usually high 50s. So
because, I mean, who does he play against? Do they try to get him out against Bergeron and, like, the two defensive centers slug it out? Or does he try to shut down Krejci? Is that line expected to score? David Perron's had a pretty good postseason from his standards. Well,
If you're talking about the games here in Boston, it's going to be depending on where the faceoffs are and where the. But yeah, obviously, clearly they're going to want to have O'Reilly's line out there against Bergeron's line if they can get it.
Their other center is Tyler Bozak, and he was a defensive-minded guy with Toronto. I guess that's how they're using him, right? That was another offseason acquisition. They signed him to a pretty big deal for a guy who's 33. 10 years in the league. We kind of mocked him, I remember, last year in the Toronto series. And I think that was kind of the thought, right, of Tavares. They're upgrading significantly right. From Bozak to Tavares.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. You know, I'm kudos to Wyshynski for seeing this in July that they were going to be this good. But I would have laughed him off the street if you told me that Perron, Bozak were these great additions. I mean, guys in the early 30s.
I wrote that I love what they did, too. I mean, yeah. I think that the most important thing that you can have if you're going to be a serious playoff contender is a good third line and a good third line center, particularly. So I like the Bozak signing. I mean, they overpaid for him for sure, and maybe that comes back to bite them a few years down the road. But he's a good third line center.
And also sort of, you know, defensive-minded. So if that's the way they're going, they've got pretty good down the middle responsibility. And the other guy, the fourth line center, Oscar Sundqvist, has had a great year surging in the playoffs. That line at total with Alex Steen and Ivan Barbashev have scored in 5 straight games. So they are hot, and they play a lot of minutes against top lines as well.
I just noticed something. There was a fourth key.
Dale had a fourth key?
Do you see the fourth key? We don't even need the audio for this. I just want to read it, and you can tell me if this is really a key. It says bonus, Brad Marchand's jockstrap.
Yeah, well, yeah, well,
what the hell does that even mean?
Dale's sticking with that. He's going back to Ovechkin couldn't hold Brad Marchand's jockstrap.
Wow, that's a reach.
Yep.
Alexander Ovechkin this year can't carry Brad Marchand's jock.
Well, Dale, this year. That is extreme.
Dale's proven right again.
Maybe he couldn't carry because he was also holding on to his Stanley Cup ring.
He predicted the Bruins to get here long before you did.
Absolutely. But when's the last time he didn't predict the Bruins to win the Cup?
Like Wiggy with the Patriots. Yeah, the predictions are a little slanted. But, which brings back up Chara. They've been arguing about Chara so much, he and Wiggy. You said to me, there is some discussion to be had about the leadership role Chara is or is not playing on this team, right?
No. I mean, clearly, it's about time, you know, the audio that's made the rounds this week, finally, Zdeno took it upon himself to articulate what his role as a leader is here, how he envisions leadership. And now, finally, after 15 years, everyone's buying into the fact that this guy is the captain for a reason. I mean, what he said about making sure everyone's on equal footing with the team and making sure everyone is on the same page is exactly what he's been doing behind the scenes all this time. The other part of it is he doesn't have an ego. He's never wanted to be, I'm the captain, I speak for this team. He's always shared it with Patrice Bergeron, even when Patrice Bergeron was in his early 20s and maybe wasn't ready for it. David Backes comes in, he defers a lot of the leadership to him just the way he did to Mark Recchi. That's what a captain does. He delegates, he lets the team breathe, doesn't try to be the one man commanding everything, and there's no doubt he's been the leader here. He'll be the first to tell you that when he's gone, Patrice Bergeron gets the C, but nonetheless, he still gets the C because it all starts with him, but it's certainly not all of him.
But you would admit, pardon me, thank you, this is why I missed the last 2 weeks. You would admit their leadership core is significant. This is a significant part of why they're here.
This
right?
Leadership core, absolutely.
Not just Chara, but the whole group.
The whole group and the fact.
And Chara letting them all.
Right, and Krejci too. Parts. Let's not forget Krejci. And there's no doubt, though, that you look at these core, so few teams have it. I mean, I really hope that people appreciate what this team has been able to do to go to the Cup final, you know, basically 8 or 5 years apart with the same core, just different players around them. Teams will search for centuries for this type of a core. You look at a team like the Devils, where they made that breakthrough last year. They made the playoffs. They have almost the same amount of young talent that the Bruins have. And you got an MVP-type player with Taylor Hall, and you've got all these things going on. And now the goal thing obviously went south there. But nonetheless, the point is, before all that happened, they didn't have this core to build around. The next thing you know, they hit some adversity during the season, and look where they wound up getting a top 3 pick in the draft, right?
Yeah.
So it, you see it a lot around the league all the time. Teams have, and in Buffalo, the same thing. You look at Buffalo and you say, where is the core, the real core of that team for leadership to be able to come through adversity, to be able to deal with every situation, to be able to tutor young kids? I don't think Jack Eichel is taking some kid under his wing right now. He maybe hasn't even really had anybody take him under his wing, and that's why that kind of that franchise is kind of rudderless.
Which is, you know, to Cam Neely and Don Sweeney's credit for allowing
right,
the court
Hall
to
of Fame
stick.
Executive Cam Neely.
Hall of Fame, as you wrote, yes, at EEI earlier this week. No, but they chose to keep it together, right? I mean, they could have blown it apart. There was a lot of criticism coming Krejci's way for sure. Now, they tried to get Tavares and probably would have traded Krejci if they had signed him, right?
Right, but look what John Tavares is more than, as much as he's a great player, he might not get the C, but he's a captain type player. I mean, he was the captain in Long Island, and that guy... You know, he sweats leadership, right? So
Pete, let me ask you this. 68 games of cup finals experience between Bergeron, Chara, Krejci, Marchand, Rask. St. Louis, only David Perron has played in a cup final. Does that matter in the series, early in the series at all?
I think possibly a little bit. I think a lot of that stuff gets overblown sometimes, but there is a significant you know, I guess if you want to call it an advantage on Boston's side, just because Perron is the only guy, and he had his experience last year, and he wasn't very good. He was scratched during the Stanley Cup final. So, you know, if you buy into that stuff, sure, there's a massive advantage in the Bruins'
hell,
favor.
Pietrangelo was calling David Backes in the offseason and asking how to be a leader. So
that's not
yeah,
you know,
I don't.
That's not that often.
It's a little odd.
That's not that rare.
You think Sidney Crosby's calling up?
I don't know what
Ovechkin
Sidney Crosby.
Saying,
I know for
lead?
A fact that Dino Chara is constantly talking to leaders on other teams, leaders of the past, leaders in other fields to improve his leadership, and especially when he first took over as captain. We know he talked to Ray Bourque and he talked to people like that to really get a feel for.
Plus,
it.
I mean, Pietrangelo and Backes are good friends, so it's yeah, not like he's just
true.
Calling a random
right.
guy being like, hey, yeah. how do I do this?
You know, how's your family?
Still,
screw the family, I want to talk about
saying,
being captain.
I have problems.
But
going back to
the experience, I mean, the experience is an edge for the Bruins just based on numbers, but I think when you get to this point, the way the Blues have, and you brought up that game where they came back from 2-0 down in the third against Winnipeg, that ages you quickly. That counts for a certain number of experience that maybe just a regular game wouldn't. I think they've learned how to play in the postseason by now.
I think once the series starts, it just goes back to it's hockey. And this is a team that has shown throughout the season and throughout the playoffs that they're a resilient team. They can bounce back. They have the mental fortitude to overcome obstacles in their way. So I don't necessarily look at it as a big thing.
If the Bruins go up 2-0 in this series, the Blues are not going to roll over the way Carolina did.
Right.
I mean, Carolina just stopped playing, basically. Right. They played that first period of game three where you said, gee, they're going to make this a series, and then they popped the balloon there and they were done.
And the cup's on the line, so teams are just not going away this time of year.
And they have the passionate fans, too.
Did Dale mention that?
Just in Boston. They have passionate fans everywhere.
And, you know, they're driven to break up the Boston trifecta. Do you think they want to be the team that's remembered as giving Boston the sports trifecta?
But now we know the key for the Sharks. You know, they never won the cup either, and now they just have to get more passionate fans.
All right, I want to get special teams talk in. It's a little boring to talk about, but it is an important factor in the series. I think you will both agree. We'll talk about that. We'll get you ready for Wiggy and Bradfo, two of the great hockey minds. Bradford was just in Toronto. He got some kid on the street. He, like, accosted him and forced him to say Marchand sucks.
The kid must have thought it was me.
The kid wasn't even from Toronto, though, right?
Oh,
he was like, no, he was from somewhere in the States. I don't know. Anyway, it was a good soundbite. Bradford, Wiggy coming up top of the hour, but for now, one more segment of Sunday Skate. Get in, 617-779-7937. It's Calvin and Blackburn. I'm Ken Laird here on Sports Radio WEI.
Now back to a Stanley Cup Finals edition of Sunday Skate with Ken Laird, Pete Blackburn, and Matt Calvin on Sports Radio WEI.
In the corner to Sanderson. Back in front door. Shot scores! Bobby Orr from Sanderson! And what could be better than that as they beat St. Louis 4-3. Orr to Sanderson, back to Orr.
All right, well, on the call for that in 1970 was Dan Kelly. His son, John Kelly, is the St. Louis Blues television broadcaster.
Is that one of your keys?
That's a factoid. I think that's an oddity coming into the series. And I'll give DuPont some credit. Neil Armstrong is a veteran NHL linesman who called games 1 and 2 of the 70 Cup Finals between the Blues and the Bruins. And his son, of course, is Doug Armstrong, the current Blues GM. So there are some parallels 49 years later here going on.
Those are two of my keys for sure.
21 Canadians on this St. Louis team. 21, including three guys from Saskatchewan. So that could be a factor in the series. All of Canada is behind St. Louis. And I didn't even know the Bruins have 18 Americans on the team. Probably half of them aren't even playing. I didn't bother to look and see who's actually in the lineup and who's not. So this is a battle of Canada and the United States coming in. So don't overlook those keys. As Dale had three keys, I've got a couple keys, all right? His may be more important than mine, the Boston trifecta and Cassidy playing himself. He may be texting a member of the show that he's unhappy that he's been framed that way, but that's fine. All right, I want to get your guys' predictions.
The
but,
one with the least, the one with the least power or cachet around.
No, that
here.
Was your idea. Just admit it. You wanted to skewer Dale, and you said we're taking his 10 keys, and we're chopping them down to the three
pick
worst
up,
ones.
Pick on the
make
low man
on
the
bad.
Totem pole there.
Don't get me in trouble again. He's already been coming at me early this week. Pete, special teams. Key yeah. or not a key in the series?
Definitely a key, and it's been a key for the Bruins, and especially in rounds 1 and 3, and I think that they hold a significant advantage here. The Blues' power play has been streaky. They went 0 for 18 through the second and third round, and you know they caught fire a little bit at the end of the Western Conference Final, but you know if you can shut them down, the Bruins, I think, have a significant advantage there on both sides, power play and penalty kill, so it can certainly serve as a major key for them.
Who's their key? I mean, Tarasenko seems to be their key gunman on the power play, but I guess there's a couple others in there as well. O'Reilly scored a power play goal that started that comeback in the game against Winnipeg.
Yeah, and Parayko plays on that first power play too, right? The Parayko play up there, right?
It's like Petrangelo.
It's like old school Chara just blasting away from the point like the old days.
Was it his shot that knocked the mask off of the Dallas goaltender
yeah.
in that
yeah.
was it game
yeah.
six?
Exactly.
And they scored
yeah,
that goal?
Yeah.
That was an unbelievable shot.
Strap your mask down too.
Right yeah. into the mask, which brings back memories of 1970 when, what's his name? Had the mask erupt. The big shot and the deflection from Esposito. And famous.
I was born in 1975.
First
I don't know,
to wear
but
a mask.
I can tell you that.
Jacques Plante.
Yeah.
I can tell you
they
that.
He blew up his mask and he left on a stretcher in 1970 in one of those rounds.
Well, I can tell you that they wouldn't have scored that goal against the Bruins because Tuukka would have thrown his mask off when he was
rolling
around on the ground. Ben Bishop didn't do it, and that was his undoing.
And then he would have thrown a skate blade, and then he would have thrown.
The Sharks series 4-for-14 finish for St. Louis on the power play. But you're right, Pete, they were 2-for-22 in that second round against Dallas. So their power play streaky to be sure. They seem to be playing better. The Bruins have 17 power play goals in the playoffs, 34% success rate. Six of those from Bergeron. So it has been key. All right, give me your predictions. I know you got Cam Neely being elected to the Hall of Fame before it ends.
Yeah, the parade goes straight from the duck boats, goes straight up the road to all the way to Toronto to the Hall of Fame to induct Neely and Sweeney and rub it in the Maple Leafs' faces, of course. And the Bruins in six.
That's what I've got as well. Yeah, boring, yeah. I guess. That's the kind of the consensus. That's
hate
the
to be boring,
favorite.
But that's what I have. As
I mean,
well.
I will
root
say
for Bruins in five so they can win it on home ice. But I think Bruins in six.
I was leaning toward five, so I went six because it just go one off of my usual. But Scott McLaughlin four, I give him credit for that one. That's a good one. That's if that comes true, he might start running this place.
And Wiggy going to media day today. It's going to be captivating. Oh, he's on the air until one.
So is he going to meet Chara face to face?
Oh, he's not going. He's not going.
Oh, jeez.
See, I think that's a good idea. If he could get over there. That's a good idea. He'll have content for tomorrow. And everybody's available today, right? Like, you can talk to anybody on the roster.
Everyone on the roster.
Marchand will have the biggest crowd around him. There's the biggest Boston star, would
Backus
you say?
And Marchand, for sure, yeah.
And Backus. And who's the biggest star for St. Louis today?
Petrangelo, probably. And
he's not that good of a quote, though. Do they have anybody who's a good quote?
Not really.
Pretty boring. No. As boring as St. Louis.
Pat Maroon, maybe?
Yeah.
I heard they roll up the sidewalks there at like 8 p.m., right? So...
You are not going to go to Game 3, but perhaps Game 6 in St. Louis, which means you'll be back here a week from today where we have a Sunday skate. It's going to be the morning after Game 3. It's better for us that you're not going to go to Game 3.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, that's important to me.
I mean, I already noticed that you didn't want me to get a big head, so you put me third in the open now, but, you know.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
good to hear you'd like to have me here next Sunday.
Well, yeah.
I thought that would be the next step. The next step is just removal from the Open.
Pete deserves a little love. He wasn't even in the Open for the entire season. He's been a key contributor to the program. You guys did a nice job Thursday, but just want to keep you level-headed. Perhaps, you're going to be on
tomorrow,
Monday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
More Kalman.
1-3 tomorrow, bringing you right up to the, you know.
And Kalman did his best today because the text line is just flooded with Kalman hate. He wanted to read some. We begged him not to.
You
got
to ask a question to get second in the intro.
Yeah, very bizarre. You pulled a just no questions of Wyshynski. I just
don't have to ask anybody. A question that wouldn't talk to me in the street as opposed to being on the air. So I have my standards.
Oh, Wiggy's settling in early. Is this for the crossover or are you just getting nestled in, Wiggs? You want to be part of the show, or you just want to get set up?
I was just settling in.
Okay,
let you guys
good,
do
good,
what
good.
You do.
All right.
Continue on. I was enjoying the Dale's keys to the victory.
Dale's three keys?
Yes.
Blues, those are the three keys?
Pash, I do like the fourth one, though.
The jockstrap one is key. Yeah, that was
don't you wish you came up with that one?
All right, Dale's upset at you. Probably upset at me, too. We'll see if Dale fires back Tuesday. But before then, game one Monday night.
I might have to see him today.
We'll have three games to talk about next Sunday morning. Back, I think, 8 to 10. Sunday Skate rolls on. Wiggy and Bradford next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio, WEI. Can't nobody tell me.